This is a red balloon. It's true, it's red. We all know our colors. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, it's not. That's green.
What?
This right here is a green balloon.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon.
Yellow? This is red. Yeah, come over here.
No, it's green.
It's red!
Yeah, I know. It's a red balloon.
Hey, will you look at it from my point of view, please?
What?
Hey, nice blue balloon.
Blue. It's green!
Green? It's red.
Why are you saying it's red when it's blue,
huh?
It's totally purple from here!
Purple? Okay, you know what? Let's just settle this once and for all, okay?
Where are you going?
Hey, what color is this balloon?
I only see in black and white.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what color...
There is no balloon.
This is ridiculous!
Hey, I know what the problem is. Look, my mom taught me that this was blue. But, you know, then she said this is red and green, yellow, you know, and on and on.
Okay, right. I get that your mom taught you that that was blue, but I mean, that's not the truth.
Whoa, why are you talking bad about his mom?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Listen, I respect your mother.
Thank you.
And the way she raised you. She taught you that it was blue. Our moms taught us that it was red. Right. That's the way it goes.
I thought you said it was green.
It is green. See, I'm smart. I went to college. And in college, I learned all these different theories about color.
Really?
And my color professors, who have doctorates in color... Do you have a doctorate in color?
No.
It shows. Okay? They can't even agree on one theory of color, so you have to look at all the different theories and pick which one works best for you. And green is great for me.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, you can't just pick whatever color fits your life the best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know the word intolerant?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now. All right, you're shoving your opinion down my throat.
Okay, it's not my opinion, it's the truth.
Hold on. All we're saying is that we need to stop arguing about trivial things. Like truth.
You know, the funny thing about truth is, it's true, whether you believe it or not.
Good morning. I want to begin with a survey today. Show me your hand. If you were taught any of these things growing up, how many of you were taught about the tooth fairy? Anybody? Okay, a lot of people. How many of you were taught about Santa Claus? Yeah, a lot of people. How many of you were taught about the Easter Bunny? Quite a few. Is there anybody who's been taught about the Great Pumpkin? Anybody? No? Okay. How many of you were taught that you should always wear clean underwear in case you were in an accident? Yeah. Honestly, as a kid, I thought if you were in a car accident, the first thing the paramedics did is check your shorts. And no, too dirty. This guy will have to stay. You see, there are certain Canadian myths that we all have been taught. And as you grow up, you're taught many myths. And as you become a teenager, you learn new ones. And as you become an adult, you learn other myths from the world. Now, lots of those myths are harmless. But there have been some myths, some things that you've learned from the world that just aren't true, but they are harmful to you. They've robbed you of happiness. They've led you into guilt and shame. Some of the myths that you've learned from the world have caused worry and stress and fear in your life. And some of them have created that nagging depression. This morning I want to start a new series. We're calling it Mythbusters. Obviously, I got it from the TV series. And we're going to look in the next few weeks at some of the myths that you've been taught that just aren't true. And so today I just want to introduce the subject. I want to introduce it with a very common Canadian myth. The origin of this phrase I'm going to share with you actually comes from a Peanuts cartoon. There's a heated theological discussion between Linus and Charlie Brown, and they're having an argument about the Great Pumpkin versus Santa Claus. Linus is thoroughly convinced that each year on Halloween night, the Great Pumpkin rises up from the pumpkin patch and brings toys to all the good little children in the world. "You're crazy," says Charlie Brown. Linus retorts, "Well, you believe in Santa Claus, and I'll believe in the Great Pumpkin. The way I see it, it doesn't matter what you believe, just so you're sincere." That's a myth I want to talk about today. You've probably heard that one. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere. Have you heard that one? I call this the sincerity myth. Now, it sounds so good. It sounds so broad-minded, so tolerant, so unbiased, politically correct. It's so Canadian. Sometimes people say it this way, different strokes for different folks. You believe that, I'll believe this. Or people say, well, whatever works for you. The only problem with this is it's absurd to hold that belief. It's irrational. It's completely illogical, and it's certainly unbiblical. There are some beliefs that are the exact opposites of each other. So it's not only naive, but it's self-destructive to your life. There's one big problem with a sincerity myth. You can be sincerely wrong. I've been sincerely wrong many, many times in my life. Anybody else want to admit you've been sincerely wrong? You know, there's times I thought it was going to work out. I was sure, I was confident, I was sincere, it would work out, and it didn't. Why? Because it takes more than sincerity to make it in life. Sincerity is not enough. I could have a bottle of liquid. I don't know if there's any water up here. If somebody gave me a bottle of liquid and they said, you know, if I believed, if I sincerely believed that there was water in that bottle, but in that bottle there was arsenic, it would sincerely kill me. No matter how much I believe it's water, it's going to kill me. I read one time about a pilot who sincerely flew into the side of a mountain because he thought he was higher than he was because his altimeter wasn't working. So no matter how much you believe, no matter how much he believed he was higher than he wasn't. And sincerity cracks up when it runs into truth because truth isn't going to move. That mountain is going to move no matter how much you believe that you're higher than it. See, the problem is with believing the wrong thing that there are some beliefs in your life that if you don't correct them, you're going to crash and burn. One time we were driving from one side of Florida to the other side of Florida. And we had a limited amount of time. We had to get to Miami to catch a flight. Well, the person reading the map got confused about the Miami streets, and we got lost. The map reader, I'm not going to name names, I was on my honeymoon, was sincere in believing that we were on the right street, but they were wrong. So instead of ending up at the airport, we ended up in the ghetto of Miami. And at that time, they were murdering tourists in the ghettos of Miami. You can be sincerely wrong, and it'll take you into dangerous places. You know, I have a doctor working on me, operating on me. I'm on the operating table. I want more than sincerity. I want competency. I want truth. The one thing I don't want to hear a doctor say when he's working on me is, oops, I sincerely didn't mean to do that. No, I want him to get it right. I like the video lead-in, because today people have been empowered to say blue is red or green is red, and if you disagree, you're narrow-minded or uneducated. So the cousin myth of the sincerity myth is the situational myth. The situational myth says that it doesn't really matter what you believe because it all depends on the circumstance. Have you heard that one? So you can believe one thing in one situation and something entirely different in another situation, but you know that causes enormous stress in your life because that's an incongruent value, and that leads to inconsistency in your decisions, and that leads to insecure relationships. You know, a lot of people like to pick and choose, so they'll say, well, when I'm on a date, I'll have this belief, but when I'm at church, I'll have that belief. Then when I'm at work closing a deal, I'll have a different belief. Then when I need to cheat on a test at school, I'll have this belief. But it doesn't work that way. You can't just pick what's convenient for you. That'll cause confusion and stress and all kinds of negative emotions in your life because truth is always true. Today, just as I introduce a series, I want to give you six truths about what you believe. Six truths about what you believe. Number one, my beliefs are my choice. All I'm saying is the obvious. Nobody forces you to believe anything. I mean, if I don't want to believe something, I don't have to. If I want to believe in something, I can. Nobody stops me. Nobody forces me. You know, if I want to believe Elvis is alive, I can believe it. You know, if I want to believe in the Loch Ness Monster, I can believe it. If I want to believe the moon is made of cheese or the world's flat, I can believe it. So here's the point. You can't blame anybody else for your beliefs. You've chosen them. You can't blame your parents or your teachers because they're not holding on to you. If they're holding on to you, it's because you're letting them. You're letting them do it in your mind. You can drop those beliefs anytime you wish. I hope in this series, over the next few weeks, you'll reconsider some of the myths you've been taught about God, about life. You'll examine those beliefs and you'll exchange them for truth. Because your beliefs are your choice. And God gives you a choice in what to believe. Even God doesn't force you to believe anything if you don't want to. In this great passage in Romans 1, I wish I had time to talk about it, but it says, Paul says this, they traded the truth about God for a lie. In this great passage in Romans 1, Paul goes on to say there that we all have the freedom to choose, and we're all accountable for that choice. We're all accountable to the Creator for that choice. So my beliefs are a choice, and I hope that you'll reconsider some of them that need to be examined and exchanged. Number two, my beliefs determine my behavior. My beliefs determine my behavior. In other words, they determine how I act. In Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The Bible's way of saying is that be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. There's a belief behind every single action you take. Everything you do has an unconscious or conscious belief behind it. For example, when you came in here this morning and you sat down in that chair, you unconsciously believed it would hold you up. Now, for some people, that's an act of faith, right? But you believed it. If you happen to go out to lunch after the service and you pick up a menu, you're going to choose something because you believe it's going to taste good. It may not, but you make a choice. So everything you do has a belief behind it. Now, here's the problem. My beliefs determine how I act, even when they're wrong. Even when they're incorrect. For example, if you believe you're clumsy, how are you going to act? You will act clumsy. If you believe you're unlovable, you will act in unlovable ways. If you believe you're a risk taker, you'll find yourself taking risks all the time. If you believe other people cannot be trusted, you'll tend to treat them with suspicion. You'll put up barriers, you'll wear a mask, you'll get that kind of response from people. If you believe that God's unconcerned about you, you'll never pray. If you believe that God is out to get you, like a lot of people do, you'll try and avoid God. The point is, even if your beliefs are wrong, they affect your behavior and your life, so you need to examine them and exchange the wrong ones. Number three, my beliefs have been influenced by the world. See, there's incorrect beliefs everywhere. They're all over. You know, I love when I go to the grocery store just to take a peek at National Enquirer headlines. You know, I just saw one recently, and I thought, this is awesome, a new discovery, fat-burning prayers. Have you heard about that? I thought, praise the Lord. I can do that. You know, they got a cure for cancer every week, right? Eat mangoes this week and you'll never have cancer. You know, we think those things are funny, but those myths really mess people up, especially when they have myths that relate to God. It used to be people would say, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. You can't even believe what you see anymore because technology has this thing called virtual reality, and it can blend fact and fiction. So even if you can see it, it doesn't mean it's true. I was looking through my movies this week, and I looked at this movie, like Forrest Gump. Do you remember that movie? Tom Hanks was his actor. He played this unusual character, Forrest Gump. And he's fictitious, but they insert him into history. And there's this video of President Robert Kennedy, the U.S. president, this actual video. And you're watching the movie, and Forrest Gump is there beside Robert Kennedy. It looks real, but it's not. So just because you can see something doesn't mean it's true. The world teaches many myths, and there's all kinds of myths. And one of the greatest sources of myths today is TV. Especially TV talk shows. Someone wrote down the top 10 talk show myths. The top 10 talk show myths. Here they are. All of your problems are somebody else's fault. The world owes you happiness. You'll be happy if you get whatever you want. There's never any reason to feel guilty. People are basically good and unselfish. All beliefs are equally valid. Pornography and perversion are innocent. You can have it all. You shouldn't have to wait for anything. I love the last one. The answer lies within you. The Bible says this in 1 John. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit." In other words, claims to speak the truth. "You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world." That's the Bible's way of saying our world is full of untrue ideas and incorrect beliefs. In fact, another place in the Bible tells us the reason some of these people have these false beliefs, these false teachings, is because they make money from it. They're making money from those infomercials and psychic hotlines. There's no I've never seen a free psychic hotline yet. It's always $9.99 per minute. Number four, my beliefs can create personal problems. So a belief doesn't have to be true in order for it to affect you emotionally or cause emotional turmoil. It'll affect you regardless of the truth of it. Now, I can illustrate this from an example. Imagine that you were going up to Algonquin Park to go camping. Now, I know it's late in the season, but just imagine you were one of those people that like the cold weather and you're going camping. And you're out in the forest and you set up your tent. And, you know, you're lying in your tent. It's all zipped up and you're in your sleeping bag and you're in there at night. And you start to hear these noises outside. And as you listen to those noises, you come to believe that it's a black bear pawing around the outside of your tent. Now, if you believe it's a black bear, you can't see it, but you believe it. What will happen? Your heart will start racing. Your pulse will go up. Your adrenaline will shoot into your system. Your muscles will tense up. You'll get emotionally in turmoil over something that isn't necessarily true. In fact, it's just a raccoon. That story's true. Someone in the church just told me this happened to them. Now, that happens all the time, but you might not realize you worry about things that aren't true. Have you figured that out? Most of the things I've worried about in my life never actually happened. You're afraid of things that aren't true. You feel shame about things you don't need to feel shame about. So even when a belief's not true, it can cause emotional turmoil in your life. And if you want to overcome stress, anger, guilt, depression, worry, perfectionism, any emotional problem, you have to examine and exchange the wrong beliefs behind those feelings. So that's what I hope you'll do in the next few weeks, that you'll consider, you'll examine and exchange the untrue things you've believed in your life. Jesus said in John 8, he says, "And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So that's what this series is all about, Jesus' freedom plan. I was doing a study on the character of God, just a personal study recently, and I was studying the character of God, and I thought, you know, isn't it so true that the main reason people don't trust God is because they don't know him? If they knew what God was really like, they would go, "Wow, awesome, count me in." But they have these ideas that just aren't true. And my goal is that we can correct those lies that we've been taught, the culture, and apply those truth to those lies. And we'll have a change of mind. Because when Jesus says, "You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free," that means you can experience freedom. Freedom from the hang-ups, freedom from the habits, freedom from the hurts that have messed your life up for a long time. Because it's the truth that sets you free. Number five, my beliefs should be based on God's truth. Why? Because God is truthful. It's his character. In fact, in Romans 3, I just picked out this brief statement. It says, you got the whole verse here. It says, "If everyone else is a liar, God is true." Right? That's what the Bible says. That God's character is he cannot lie. It's a fundamental question you have to ask yourself. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. And if you think of yourself as a religious person, it doesn't really matter if you're brethren in Christ or Baptist or Buddhist. Every person has to answer this question in life. What is going to be the authority for my life? What's going to be the basis for my beliefs and behavior? What's going to be my guidebook that I rely on? What's going to be my North Star? What's going to be my compass? What are the standards in which I'll evaluate my life? What am I going to base my life on? What's the final authority in my life? Now, when it comes down to it, I think you have two options. You can either have the world and all the things of the world and the views of the world and the systems of the world, or you can have the Word of God. So you can have what man says, and that's a million contradictory things. It's always changing. Or you can have what God says. You can build your life on what culture says or what Christ says, the world or the Word. Those are your choices. Well, let's think about those too. Which of them is more reliable? See, the problem with what culture says is it's always changing. You know, what's conventional wisdom today is not tomorrow. It's shifting all the time. And what's popular one day isn't popular another day. One day it's considered truth, and the next day it isn't. If you're a baby boomer, about one in three Canadians is a baby boomer. That means you were born between 1946 and 1964. So a lot of people in Canada. A lot of baby boomers were raised on parenting ideas from a parenting book by a guy named Dr. Spock. For you young people, it's not Mr. Spock, it's Dr. Spock. So Dr. Spock wrote a baby book, and a lot of people who were raising, you know, in that generation, raised during the baby boom, they raised their children on the ideas in that book. You know, a few years ago, Dr. Spock, he had a conference, and he said, you know, all those things I wrote, well, they're not correct. I thought they were true, but I've done further research, and I figured out they're not correct. I thought, thanks a lot. I'm already dysfunctional. The point is, a whole generation of people were raised on parenting ideas that studies later confirmed didn't work. It didn't work. You know, the average lifetime of a science textbook now is about 18 months because knowledge is increasing so rapidly. So what do you want to put your faith in? Something you can't depend on tomorrow? Because you might go down the wrong path. You might go, well, you know, I climbed the ladder of success. I got to the top, and I found out it's leaning against the wrong wall. In Luke 21, it says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. So it's just saying God's truth will stand the test of time. You can trust it as a guidebook, as your authority, as your basis. Why? Because it's based on God's character. That's why you can trust it. What is God's character? Well, as I said, his character is he cannot lie. It says in Hebrews 6, it's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. So God can't even tell a half-truth because a half-truth is a whole lie. So if you want something to base your life on that's solid, build it on God's truth. When I was a younger man, I decided to do that. I thought, really, the test of the Bible, I thought, is if I live it out and it holds up, it proves it to me. And that's what I tried to do, and that's what I've been doing. And I found it to be true. It's never let me down. Number six, my beliefs are the foundation for my life. I'm going to show you this right from the words of Jesus. You probably even know where I'm going with this. In this series, we're going to look at the actual words of Jesus. You know, 80 times in the Bible, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. 80 times he says that. Means something, doesn't it? 20 times in the Bible, Jesus says, now you've heard it said, but I say to you. What's he doing? He's examining and exchanging the myths that make people miserable. He's saying, you've heard it said. You've heard conventional wisdom. That's what everybody thinks. That's what's on the talk show. You've heard it said, but I say to you. And then he says, the truth will set you free. I've read a bunch of studies over the last 10 years and studies from microbiology and other disciplines that say, you know, if you're a person of strong religious beliefs, you know what research shows? You'll live longer and you'll live happier. And they figure, and it's not they believe in God, they figure strong beliefs stimulate parts of the brain that stimulates your immune system and that creates these benefits to your emotional well-being. Well, Jesus sort of said that 2,000 years ago. He said, you know, building your life is like building a house. You have to build a house on the right foundation if you want it to be strong. And he says you can really have one of two foundations. You can build your house on a solid rock, that's God's unchanging truth, or you can build it on sinking sand. That's the constantly changing opinions of this world. In Matthew 7, it says, anyone who hears, listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. So do you want your life to be strong so it can withstand the storms? Remember when Jesus said this? You know what he's saying? He's saying you want to build your house on a good foundation because you're going to go through storms in life. Man, that's so true. Everybody's going to go through storms. You're going to go through storms. And if you don't build your life on the right base, on the right foundation, it won't stand up. I mean, I as a pastor, I can just see that's so truthful. People embrace ideas. They take in these ideas and they accept them. And then something happens and it lets them down. They're disappointed and they fall apart. What's the point? Jesus' point is this. Build your beliefs on the right base and your life will be strong. So how do I do that? Well, it's more than just hearing the truth. You need to practice it. So what does it mean to practice? Well, practice requires repetition. You ever tried to learn to play the piano or tried to learn to play the guitar? Practice requires repetition, but repetition requires something else, commitment. So it takes commitment. That's the first step to freedom. The first step to being released from your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups, the things that are messing you up, is a personal commitment to become a person of truth. Paul wrote in Romans 12, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So notice here, he says, you can be transformed. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to experience the kind of life God's always meant for you to live? Would you like to be freed from emotional hang-ups, from those things that stop you from being happy? It's possible. It says God can transform you. He can transform your mind. Well, what does that mean? It means replace the old myth with the new system that's based on truth. But there's one key thing you have to see in this verse. There's a key word. It's the little word, L-E-T. See, it says let. Let God transform your mind. That's a choice. So it requires a commitment, and it requires a choice. So as we start this series, I just want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to urge you. Just make these commitments regarding truth in your life. And if you do, you'll be well on your way to emotional healing and health. I'm going to give you three principles here that I hope you'll take to heart that will guide you through this series. Number one, commit to seeking the truth. Commit to seeking the truth. It says in Timothy, for time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. I think that's so true of people today. You see, you have to make a commitment. I'm going to be very honest with you about this. If you make a commitment to seek the truth the rest of your life, it's not always easy. It's not always popular to seek the truth because sometimes the truth contradicts popular opinion. Sometimes the truth contradicts conventional wisdom. Like the world is saying, well, it's okay, everybody is doing it. The truth is, it's not okay. So it's not always popular to be honest and seek the truth. And that's when we want to warn you that sometimes the truth is painful. Would you agree with that? Sometimes the truth is painful. Sometimes the truth is scary. Would you agree with that? Sometimes the truth is disturbing. It gets us all upset. Sometimes the truth is dangerous. Sometimes the truth is it's unpleasant because sometimes we don't want to face the truth about our past. Or we don't want to face the truth about ourselves. Or we don't want to face the truth about our failures. Or we don't want to face the truth about our fears. So it's painful, it's unpleasant, it's scary. But it's the only way to emotional health and stability. To face it and to seek it, to know it, to admit it. Again, Timothy says, this is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. So it's just saying you're in the right place. You're with God's people looking at God's word. That's the best place to seek the truth. See, the church is an opportunity for someone to be honest with you and to not tell you what you want to hear, but to tell you what is truthful. And I try to be honest with you, and I try to be honest with myself. And the best understanding of my Bible, I try to be honest with you and say what the Bible says, even though I know sometimes it isn't very popular. And the people that are seeking the truth will accept it. You know, people tell me all the time. I hear this all the time. People as they're going out will say, Todd, it's like you were speaking to me today. You know, I say, that person's seeking truth. That person's open to God. I was at a conference this week, and I heard this great speaker. I heard a lot of great speakers. It made me feel kind of sick about having to do my sermon Sunday, you know. You hear these awesome speakers, and oh, man, I wish I could do the way they do. But anyhow, I heard this great speaker. His name's Dr. Henry Cloud. Maybe you've read his books. He's a psychologist. He's written many great books. And he described the world in terms of three kinds of people. He said there are wise people. And he says, how do you know the difference between these three groups of people? He talked about in the context how these people respond to light or truth. Same thing, right? He says the world has wise people. And he says the wise people are those who receive the truth and are appreciative for it. He said there's a second group of people in the world. He called them the fools. Those are the people that, he said, they run from the truth. They hide from the truth. They don't want to receive the truth. And then he talked about a third group. They're evil people. Just make up their own truth. Thought, what a great way to describe what I'm talking about today. I hope you'll say, I want to be wise. I want to receive the truth and be appreciative for it. People say to me sometimes, they'll say, you know, Todd, well, my idea of God is, and they'll tell me their idea of God. And when they say that, you know, there's a sarcastic part of me that wants to say, hey, we both know you're making that up. It's true, isn't it? But I'm kind and compassionate. And who made you the authority on God? When I look at Jesus, I see the authority in God because Jesus was God. And Jesus, when you look at me, you can see what God is like. I mean, who knows better what God is like, Jesus or, you know, your friend that lives down the street? So where are you going to seek the truth? That's what I'm asking this morning. If you're going to become a seeker of truth, where are you going to do that? That's what I'm trying to ask you. Isn't church a great place to do that? You can Oprah? Where's it going to be? Number two, commit to living the truth. So, truth is not just something you know, it's something you do, it's something you practice, it's something you apply, it's something you live out. It's not just some intellectual trip, you know, well, I know the truth, I've got these doctrines down, you know, I've got that taken care of. You ought to be a living Bible. You know, and that's truthfully harder, isn't it? It's a lot harder to live out the truth. It's easy to study it, it's easy to listen to the pastor go on about it, it's easy for me to talk about it. The hard part is when we leave these doors and we have to live it out. And then number three, commit to following the truth. See, the wonderful thing is God has revealed to us his truth. That's what we believe is in the Christian church, that truth has been revealed. The Bible is God's revelation of truth. That's what we believe. The Bible, his word, is his revelation of truth. But you know, there's a more amazing thing than that. The Bible is awesome, but there's something more amazing than that, and that's Jesus. Because Jesus came and he said, not only do you have it written down, you have it in this book, but you can see what God is like. You can see God incarnate. You don't have to just read. You can look at Jesus. So when we look at Jesus, we don't all only say, what are the teachings of Jesus? We say, what is the example of Jesus? How did Jesus respond in that situation? You ought to look at the Bible that way. Because Jesus is always living truly, acting truly, talking truly, thinking truly, responding truly. Just look at Jesus. He's always doing those things. So we have not only a book, but we have a person. That Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, I am the truth. Now think about that. That's a pretty amazing statement. He says, I. So not religion. Not a denomination. He says, I. So truth is a person. It's Jesus. He says, I, not, you know, I am the truth. Not I might be, I hope to be the truth, I could be. He doesn't say I point to the truth. He doesn't say I teach the truth. He says I am the truth. Now that's a pretty all-inclusive statement. He didn't say I'm some of the truth, I'm part of the truth. He says I am the truth. So people say to me, you know, well, I don't believe Jesus was God, but I do believe he was a good person. Listen to me. He couldn't be a good person. He's either who he said he was, or he's a whack job, con man. I mean, what kind of good man claims to be all truth? So Jesus wasn't a good man. He's either God come to earth to tell us the truth, to show us the truth, or he's a phony, he's a fake. And you bet your life on what you believe about that. You bet your life. He says, I am the truth. Remember, I said earlier, God's giving you the freedom to choose. He doesn't force you to believe in Jesus. He doesn't force you to believe Jesus is truth. You can believe that this music stand is God if you want to, and God will let you do that. You know, and if you say, you know, I don't intend to accept Jesus for who he was, but I think he's a good guy, you're just deceiving yourself. You're just playing a game with yourself. It's not true. And you know what the Bible says? When you do not believe in Jesus, when you do not accept the truth, because he said, I'm the truth. The Bible says when you don't accept the truth, there's a place you go to for eternity. It's called hell. You say, Todd, is there a real hell? Is hell a real place? Well, of course there is. Jesus talked about it. Some people say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, that doesn't make it not real. I mean, I could say I don't believe in Alberta, but it's still there. Who made you the authority? Just because you say, oh, I don't believe in it, that's not called belief, that's just called denial. Just because it's unpleasant doesn't mean it's not true. Hell, the Bible says hell was made for the devils and the angels, not for people. But when you choose to reject God, when you choose to reject the truth, he says you can be separated from me. Now, I'm going to talk more about that in this series. So coming later on, I'm going to talk about this. This is a really controversial topic, I understand. I'm going to try to tell you the truth. So if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. You say, how do you go to hell? There's only one way you go to hell. There's only one way you go to hell. You ready for this? To refuse and reject the truth. It's the only way you go to hell, by rejecting the truth, by refusing the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. So how do you go to heaven? There's only one way. There's only one way you go to heaven. There's only one way you go to hell. How do you get to heaven? It's not by being good. It's not by being baptized, by taking communion, by giving you the United Way. There's only one way you go to heaven. It's to accept and follow the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Now you know. Robert Frost said, two roads diverged in the middle of the forest in my life, and I took the one less traveled. So which road will you take? This can be a day of decision. Now you know how you go to heaven. Now you know how you go to hell. You either accept or reject the fact that Jesus said, I'm the truth and follow me. Or you either accept it or you reject it. If you say, today I want to step across the line. I want to build my life on truth. I want to live it, believe it, love it, follow it, learn it, speak it, teach it, listen to it, defend it. I want to be a person of truth. If you've never committed your life to Christ, you can do so today. Just make a simple prayer. Just say, Lord, I'm letting you know I'm stepping across the line of faith today. I'm putting my faith in Christ. Maybe you already made that decision. You just need to say, you know, I want to be a person of truth. I want to seek out the truth. I want to face the truth, no matter how painful or how discouraging or how scary it gets. Because I want to be set free. I want to be all that God wants me to be. Maybe you want to just recommit your life to Christ today. Maybe you want to be baptized. We have a baptism class coming up. You'll be part of our baptism later this month. Whatever your decision is today, I encourage you, make it. Don't put it off. Receive the truth. Let's bow in prayer. Why don't you pray a prayer, just something like this. Just say it in your mind, and God will hear you. He doesn't need you to say it out loud. Just say, Dear Jesus, I'm tired of pretending everything's okay in my life, putting on a show, and acting like I've got it all together. When I know I don't, and you know it too. I want to live a life of truth, and I want to commit myself today to these things. First, I want to become a seeker of the truth. Even if that means it's unpopular or it's not easy, I don't want to live a lie. And I want to commit to living and following the truth. When you teach me something to do, I want to do it because I know it's right and it'll work out best for me. I commit myself to believing in you, Jesus, as the truth, following you, because you are truth. I accept you as the truth of my life, and I want to follow you from here on out. In your name we pray. Amen.